Okay, right in the middle of the parsha, we have the episode of Dinah and Shechem. And it's kind of an eerie parallel, if you think about it. What's going on over here is that innocent member of Yaakov's family, Dinah, daughter of Leah, is taken captive. She's taken hostage by a neighboring nation. And she's abducted. She's not treated properly. And on the one hand, you have the people of Shechem who just sort of, you know, want to deny the whole thing and move on and pretend like nothing happened and live happily ever after. On the other hand, you have the sons of Yaakov who are not ready to stand for that. You have Levi and Shimon who go on the attack. And they decide that the only way to successfully bring Dinah back and avenge what was perpetrated is by attacking them. Now, the strategy that the Torah describes is that first they require that all the members of Shechem get a bris milah, right? And they do that at face value to the people of Shechem to make it appear as if they're going to create some sort of peace treaty where they're all going to get along. But we know that this was mirma. Rashi says mirma means chachma. It was a wise strategy. We'll have to see. Right? Rashi did not learn mirma the way you might have translated it, which is a trick, right? Pashup shot. Sounds like they're trying to create a weakness, trying to put them in a vulnerable spot so that they can attack, and the people of Shechem are not going to be able to defend themselves. But nevertheless, it's chachma. So it might be there's something more to the strategy than simply trying to take them and put them in a weak spot. Now the question is, even though they were successful, they were certainly very successful, but Yaakov Avinu, at the end of the episode, very clearly is not approving of the decision that they made to go and attack. The end of Perek Lamed Daled, we see Yaakov confronting them. And he says, Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon v'Levi achartem osi, lavisheni v'yoshev ha'aretz, b'knani v'aprizi. He says, you have totally muddied my thinking. It's hard for me to process what's just occurred over here. Because after all, in the eyes of the neighboring peoples, the Canaan and the Prizi, right? We're just a very small group, relatively small group. We don't have the power to defend ourselves against all the neighboring lands. And what's stopping them from launching a major attack, right? What did you think was going to happen? Think about the time of Yahushua. Fast forward. Time of Yahushua, as the Jewish people were trying to continue their conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and it was known at this time that the Jewish people were destined, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov received prophecies that they were going to take over Eretz Yisrael. So we know when the Jews actually came to the land and they began that conquest. So the nations, 31 kings, right? They were attacking the Jewish people. They were not ready to stand for this. They didn't want to lose their real estate, their property. So Yaakov Avinu is worried about that already. The people around Shechem and around the whole country are going to look at this as the Jewish people beginning to take away their home. And of course we're going to fight back.
Why was that?
Vanessa alive, vikuni vishmanati ani uvesi. The result is going to be we're a very small people, very small family, and they're all going to gang up on us, and they're going to attack us, and they're going to destroy the entire mishpacha. So what were you thinking? So there's no response other than we could not let this go by without some sort of vengeance. Vayomro hachazona yasas achaseno. We cannot allow our daughter to be treated, meaning your daughter, our sister, to be treated like a zona, and therefore we have to retaliate. The question is, what were they thinking? From a military, from a strategic vantage point, didn't they entertain that possibility, exactly as Yaakov describes, that this would make them the target of all the other peoples who were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, living in Eretz Canaan at the time? And the answer that's given by the Kli Yakar, several hundred years ago, and after him, Rabbi Yonos of Eibeshitz, same answer. It's a sad answer, but it's a very true answer. The strategy was as follows. At face value, like we said before, they demanded that they undergo a bris milah in order to weaken them. But there's more than meets the eye. In the words of the sons of Yaakov themselves, the point of this, the way they communicated it to the people of Shechem was, v'hayinu la'am echad. If you circumcise yourselves, we're all going to be one big nation. And that's how the people are pitched the whole plan by Shechem and Hamor themselves. Right? We're going to give them our children, their daughters, their sons. We're going to intermarry. We're going to do business together. And like we said, everyone's going to live happily ever after. As one nation, the sons of Yaakov knew at the moment that the people of Shechem would be viewed by everyone else as part of the Jewish family, at that moment, no one else would bother to come to their defense. If you are a Jew, that's it. You're isolated, you're on your own, you have no hope. It's a brilliant answer, but it's a very, very sad answer. And we all know it's true, and we see it now. We see it now. Right? As Bilam, in his prophecy, says, Hein am levadar yishkon. This nation will always be on their own. And no one's going to come and help them. And we see even the people we thought were at least neutral turn against us. And the anti-Semitism that's always lying in waiting rears its head. And it rears its head when we need the support the most. And there's no one else we can count on. There's no one else we can count on confidently other than the Rabbanu Shalom. So we have over here the statement that we're going to be on our own. We're going to be alone. We're going to be isolated. At the same time, a little bit earlier in the parsha, we find a similar message which just rubs, you know, the salt in the open wounds. It's adding insult to injury because Yaakov is attacked by the angel of Esav on the fateful night before the actual encounter between Yaakov and Esav. And the lashon of the pasuk is Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayavek Ish Imo. And some of Farshim say it's a cause and effect. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, because Yaakov by himself was by himself, because he went out alone, he had no escort, he had no attendants, he had no help. Therefore, Vayavek Ish Imo. The result was that he had to fight. He had to fight with Sarshal Esav, with the angel of Esav, which teaches us that when we are alone, when we try to go it by ourselves, the result, unfortunately, is that we're not safe. We're not safe. So there's a catch-22. On the one hand, we're isolated, we're by ourselves. On the other hand, we have no hope when we're by ourselves. What exactly are we supposed to do? So the answer is clear. There's two types of being alone. Two types of being alone. Yes, Levi and Shimon identified the fact that the Jewish people are alone. But we're also in danger when we're alone. And the pshat has to be, because if you look back at that prophecy of Bilam that we mentioned a moment ago, Hein am levadar yishkon, so we know from the Torah itself that that's not a curse. Being isolated is not a curse, because all the curses that Bilam tried to lodge against the Jewish people, the Torah testifies, were turned into a blessing. We were taught that the greatest blessing that we can enjoy from Hashem is to be alone, but to be alone with Hashem. To be alone with Hashem. Al tiv tichu b'nedivim. Pasuk says in Tehillim, we say this every morning, every Shabbos morning, as part of Pesukah D'Zimra. It's mentioned in Halal. Al tiv tichu b'nedivim. How does the pasuk end? Don't have confidence in all those who come to be your political friends and to be benefactors. Why? Al tiv tichu b'nedivim ki leven adam ein lo seshua. Because in the end of the day, they're humans. And a human can only go so far. A human can only provide so much help and so much support, which means that we can have confidence in our political friends and our partners, but it can be a mistake because it can only go so far. We can have confidence even in our own military, even in our own intelligence and military intelligence. And we see how it can fail. That's all over the news now. You know how much Israel knew long before there was an October 7th massacre. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to help, it's not going to help. So yes, we are alone. The promise is that we're alone, but the purpose of that is to direct our thoughts and feelings, not just to be alone, but to be alone with Hashem. To be alone with Hashem is ultimately the goal of history. To appreciate that everything that happens, all the world events, and every detail therein is orchestrated and calibrated and dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So yes, we're going to be by ourselves, but we're going to be by ourselves with Hashem. But when we put that together with the other story of being alone, we suffered the assault of Esav's angel because even though we're alone with Hashem, we're supposed to be alone together with Hashem. In the end of the day, the Achdus is what's going to make the difference. Yaakov should not have been alone because he should have been joined by his family forevermore throughout history. Only when the Jewish family is together, alone with Hashem, can we accomplish the true purpose of our lot. We've read before the Rambam, the ending of Perek Zayin Hilchos Melachim, when he defines what it is that a soldier has in mind when he goes out to battle, one thing and one thing only. Kavana, to not be afraid, but to go out there and fight for Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem is synonymous with Shema Yisrael Hashem Alkenu Hashem Echad. And Echad is not simply one versus two versus three. It's not just about numbers. It's not quantity. Of course, we all believe there's only one God. Monotheism, that's Pashat. To fight for Yichud Hashem means the Achdus, the oneness of Hashem, the unity of Hashem means that all of history, like we said, everything that occurs is all coming from one single source. All traces back to Hashem, and therefore traces our focus and our tefillos back to Hashem, recognizing that that is the be-all and end-all. But we know that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is only realized when it's coupled with what we say every afternoon, Shabbos afternoon. Ata Echad v'shimcha Echad, u'mika amcha Yisrael goy Echad ba'aretz. That when we represent the Achdus of Hashem in this world through our own Achdus, then we're successful in this goal of being alone together with Hashem. So Rabbi Greenberg pointed out to me in Hillcrest, that's the key to that prophecy of Bilam. It's Hein Am Levadad Yishkon. It's that aloneness with that sense of togetherness. And we all know that even though we're at a distance, we're here in America, we want to feel like we're a little bit closer. We want to feel like we have more of a shachus with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Shmulevitz, speaking to his Talmidim, I think in 1973, when there was a war going on, he pointed out that we know from the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, Rachel mevaka al banah. Rachel cries for her children. And ultimately, as Chazal tell us, it's Rachel's cries that will be heard and that will bring the gula. So why is it Rachel? What about Sarah and Rivka and Leah? Where are they? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, where are they? Why is Rachel the only one who's crying? So the answer, he said, is symbolically, the other avos and imos are tucked away safely, as it were, in Marasa Machpelah, in Hebron. Rachel, as we read on Shabbos, is the only one who's out on the road. She's a little closer to the action. She sees the trials and tribulations and what Klal Yisrael is going through, and as a result, her emotional response, so to speak, is all the more poignant and meaningful and deep and felt. Therefore, she cries. She's closer, and he encouraged them to be. He felt that even though they were in Yerushalayim, they're still a little bit divorced from where the action was, and they needed to feel that closeness to be with the soldiers, to be with Klal Yisrael in the time of need. We have to do that also. Achdus is something which Baruch Hashem has reached new heights in Eretz Yisrael. If you talk to people in Israel walking on the streets of Yerushalayim, Achdus is felt unbelievably compared to what Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael was experiencing 6 months ago. You can't even imagine. People walking up and down the street, they're giving each other hugs, they're handing out chocolate chip cookies. There's a love, there's a feeling of Achdus. We have to get in that also. You know, if you think about it, everything that's happening in Eretz Yisrael, there should be no difference between what's happening there and what's happening here. We see videos every day. Soldiers putting on tzitzis, secular Jews who never even imagined that they'd be doing mitzvahs, putting on tzitzis, putting on tefillin, and they say to themselves, this is unbelievable. I didn't even know I had it in me to do a mitzvah like this. Right? Every day we see videos like that. I'm just waiting, by the way, for the video that has a young Israel shul where they didn't speak from the very beginning of davening to the end of davening, and wow, unbelievable. I didn't think we could do it, right? Like, why should the newfound mitzvahs only be amongst the secular Jews? There's plenty of things that we can also realize that we have the capacity to do that we never thought we could do. So Achdus also should be the same. But every video we see of soldiers dancing around in a circle that, you know, singing Am Yisrael Chai, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. That's Achdus, okay. But that doesn't mean that there isn't Achdus back here also that needs to be repaired when we're not actually fighting. But you know what? A person can write a check to the friends of the IDF. You can write a check to Magen David Adom. You can write a check to many, many wonderful organizations. But I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to write that check, even if you have to pull out a lot of money from your wallet, than it is to create Achdus where it wasn't before. Last week, I encountered someone who did something more heroic and perhaps more powerful than all the videos, all the mitzvahs, and all the things you're going to see, but you're never going to see it on Instagram, you're never going to see it on WhatsApp. The person said to me, They were in a long, protracted, we'll say, state of tension, to be nice, between this individual and that person's in-laws. And they said, you know what? They just realized that whatever it is that's between them, they can be mochel, they can let it go, they can look past it, because Klal Yisrael has much bigger problems right now. And for every person who as a schus, is separating challah or putting on tefillin or whatever they're doing, there's also a tremendous power in saying, you know what, I'm going to overlook a grudge or a machlokes or some unfortunate, bitter relationship and put that behind me because I want to do that for Klal Yisrael. That takes a much greater depth of spiritual fortitude than even writing out a $180 check for an important organization on the front lines. But that's really where our actions must lie. Where it's toughest to do is where the impact is the greatest. And all the talk about achdus is not just over there. It's over here also to find where our achdus can make sure that we are not just alone with Hashem. We're always going to be alone with Hashem. But to be alone together with Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Malkeinu Hashem Echad is also Mika Amcho Yisrael Koi Echad Baretz.